My name is Laurie Ward. I was born in 1922 in a village called Quality Court, which was attached to Swillington. I remember having to walk to Swillington School, which would be approximately a mile. There was no canteens in those days. We had to come back home at lunchtime, within the hour, walk back home and then back again, and we hadn't to be late. Everybody walked. Yes. Well, we couldn't afford bus fares. My father had a major accident in 1932, and he went to Leeds Infirmary. He was laid in bed for 6 weeks and sandbags placed all over his body so he couldn't move. And he was like that for 6 weeks, and he lost a eye. And that was it in those days. And no money around as there are today. My mother had 21 and sixpence a week to bring three children and herself and father up.
Did he ever work again?
Oh, yes, but it was, I couldn't say, 15 years maybe afterwards, he got a light, what they called a light job at the pit, which he was a surface worker. The union in those days maybe wasn't as strong as they are today, but they took his case up to the union, and he was offered £75 for the loss of an eye and be completely finished with the colliery. And he was advised to not to take it, and he got this very pittance of a weekly compensation.
My name is Elizabeth Ward. I was born at the far end of Dewsbury Road in Leeds, but up at the top of Dewsbury Road. My dad was the manager of a coal depot in Hunslet. The name of the company was the Direct Coal and Lime Company. It was owned by a gentleman, Mr. Butler. And as I say, he worked there for 40 years. My dad managed it. I mean, he did all the paperwork and everything for it. Didn't go dressed in a suit or anything, but he was tidy when he came home. He didn't have to get in the bath type of thing.
Yeah. But the world was a muckier place then, wasn't it?
Oh, very much so.
But yeah. a happy place.
Laurie, can you just remember your first memories of Woodlesford and the station when you were a child?
Well, in those days, most goods travelled by rail. Mm-hmm. And here in Swillington, there were a lot of farms. Of course, there's coal mines, but farms in particular. And the one I was connected with or visited a lot, they used to go to the Woodlesford station with horse and cart and maybe take seed potatoes off in bags which had come by goods, a special goods yard. Even cattle travelled by train in those days. And it was, I don't ever remember anybody complaining, saying, oh, it should have been here. As today, you get promised things and they don't arrive. Everything seemed to work like clockwork. As you went into the station, it was all cobbled yard, and the goods yard was just to the right, and it was just an extra little siding before you got to the main platform for passenger trains. It was a sort of an offcut, if you're with me. You'd maybe go down there, there'd maybe be at least, say, half a dozen goods trucks waiting there, and some of them would be half empty as people were taking stuff off and things like that. But a lot of goods travel by rail.
And all this farm stuff you're talking about, how did they get it from the farms backwards and forwards to the station?
Horse and cart or horse and wagon. It was all horses, of course. So there was no mechanised transport in those days, no tractors even. I mean, the first tractor I ever saw on the farms was just after the war.
Yeah. My grandparents were farmers, and they didn't have a tractor till well after the war, being the 50s, latest 50s.
And down at the station then, all this sort of carting stuff about, was that done by the farmers or were there special companies doing that?
No, it was the rail, LMS, London Midland Scottish Railway, then. And obviously the railway, I assume, would notify the farmer that the goods he'd ordered had arrived. And then it was up to him to go down and collect.
And so, were there lots of little trucks going about that said LMS on the side? Or was it the farmers who got their own stuff?
It was the farmers who got their own stuff, yes, yes.
It had to be done by the farmer himself. He had to provide the horses and carts and everything. You had to do all your own shivving about kind of thing.
When they were going to collect things, how many railway wagons would be in that goods yard?
Well, it varied, of course, but I would say approximately half a dozen or so. It was busy. It was a thriving business, you know.
And would you go and watch that when you were a kid?
Oh, I used to go. Well, I'm saying I'd go down occasionally. We were down then. We'd love to watch it, of course, especially if there were cattle coming off the trucks onto the farmers' vehicles and then transported away. It was interesting.
And what did your parents think about you going from Swillington a mile and a half?
Oh, well, you had to tell them where you were going and what time you were going and what time you were coming back. I mean, you will be tired if you didn't get back on time.
And would you say you were a train spotter then?
No. No. Oh, no, no.
That all came afterwards.
No, I wasn't a train spotter, no.
But did you take much interest in the trains that went through the station?
Oh, yes, yes. As you were standing on Woodlesford platform looking towards Castleford, you could see the train, you know, a good mile or a mile and a half away coming in slowly. And it was great excitement with that. Oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Also, the one thing about Woodlesford Station, I do remember when we were school children, which were between, I can't give you the year, but 1922 to say 1930, they what they called evening trips on the train, on the railway, yeah, which went to the coast, and mainly to the west coast, such as Morecambe, Blackpool. And you could travel, I think it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, approximately, to the coast and back again for 2 and 6 pence return.
All in the same day?
What that's they called the... evening trips.
They were called evening trips, and they left roundabout, as I said, between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. You arrived there in approximately about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock time.
In the evening,
and you had the evening. Yeah. This was in the mid of the summer when, you know, darkness didn't come down till 10 o'clock at night. And you got back into... We got back into Leeds. They got back into Woodlesford, of course. We got back into Leeds at approximately 11:30 towards 12 o'clock.
And did you remember going on that line?
I've been quite a few. Having said this earlier, that my parents were very poor in those days, and I'm still proud of my parents. I mean, had they been alive today, how they managed on the pittance of wage, of compensation, I don't know. You don't as children, you don't realise that. You only realise afterwards you've grown up. And when my mother could afford it, I've been on, say, maybe 3 or 4 different trips.
Can you remember those trips? Did you go with a lot of people from the village?
There were hundreds waiting at Woodlesford Station to get on these trips. They were very popular. Train was full.
The trouble is today that everything is so accessible. So everybody thinks that we're a bit peculiar because we can talk like this. But you had to save up for a month or more to go on one evening trip. You didn't go on holiday. I mean, we were pretty fortunate. My dad's position was good that we could go. But we always went away for a week during the summer. But all the other things, I mean, they just weren't available to us because we didn't have the money.
And tell me more about these trips then, the lorry. I mean, you said it was hundreds of people on the train. Can you remember the journey itself very much?
Well, not really. I can't really, other than the compartment would be full and you were all, as kiddies, you were excited and everything like that sort of thing. And there weren't, as I can remember, many hold-ups on the railway. They seemed to go through very smoothly
along,
and on time and everything, yes.
Did you go to see the illuminations then or what?
Yes, I remember going to see the illuminations once and again, evening trip. And very popular, not just one a year. I mean, there were several.
About 3 during the time.
Over the summer period, there was quite a few. And
how did people find out about them?
Well,
notices
and word of mouth and that sort of thing, you know. They were popular.
It sounds like the whole village went.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well,
going
there
off,
again, you've got to remember that all this wasn't here, you see.
You see, this village has
this
grown.
Wasn't here at all.
It was sparse then. But Woodlesford, of course, they all came from Woodlesford and Oulton. You can see them walking down, as we call Pottery, you know, to the station. Oh, yes.
Tell me more about the station then. What else can you remember when you were when you were younger, before the Second World War? What else can you remember about it?
One building with the ticket office and everything, and I always remembered a big scale, old-fashioned scale, just inside the door where they obviously weigh things and that sort of thing, but ticket collect office with a little sliding window.
What about the people on the station, the porters?
Oh,
and the...
yes. They were ordinary local workmen and sort of more or less knew everybody sort of thing, I suppose. As I said, I remember my father had to go to hospital at least once every week. And my mother was always on the last push. She was never on time. And as she was walking down the main road, which we did walk to the station, you passed the Bentley's Yorkshire Brewery on your left-hand side, which was adjacent to the railway bridge. And as they were walking there, she said, "Oh, look, there's a train, and it'd be coming slowly over the bridge." The driver leaning out, as they did in those days, my mother had waved to him, he'd waved back, and by this time they had approximately 500 or 600 yards to go to the station, which was up a hill, and the train was still on the platform, and the man from the ticket office would be on the platform with the tickets in his hand. Mother would pass over the money, onto the train, wave the whistle, and off. Those things happened in those days.
So you're saying the train driver looked out for his passengers, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes, yes, yes.
They did. When you see them on the television sometimes, you know, and people go, "Oh, look at that, they don't do that." But they did.
What would your mother say about that?
Oh, she was very pleased, but they just sort of, well, took these things for granted, I suppose,
yeah,
because everybody was so friendly.
He did try to be, as the Lord would say, love me and love thy neighbour. And that was it.
Before your time, I've read that they used to have a chocolate machine on the station.
Yeah?
They did.
Could you remember
did.
That?
Penny fries bars.
Penny fries bars, yeah.
Little flat bars of chocolate, 1 penny.
I think there were some that were cheaper than that as well, Laurie. I think you could get a half penny one.
Little red machines, like a little, as you see outside of post office stamp machines, they were like that. And they used to fill them with chocolate, and you could see the level of the chocolate going down, obviously.
And you put your penny in at the top, and then it clicked, and you pulled a drawer out, and there was your little chocolate bar.
What about the windows and the doors, and what colour were they?
I think from memory there'd be possibly a dirty brown, I believe there were. But by the way, it was old-fashioned as compared to today, but it was spotlessly clean. The platform would be swept every day by a porter or whatever, and the old place was clean.
I can remember the coal trains, because they all went in, strangely enough, they came from Woodlesford to go to my father's depot down in Hunslet.
And you, Laurie, just one more question. Can you remember when you were living in Swillington and when you were a child, could you hear the railway in Woodlesford?
Yeah, yes.
Strangest
the strangest is, my father used to say, "It's going to rain." And we'd, as children, you'd say, "How do you know, Dad?" You can hear the trains going through what we call a cut-in in Woodlesford, and you can hear them. And even today, you can still hear them.
We do that sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Laurie will say, "I think it's going to rain, can you hear the trains?" But we're blocked out by that because we hear the motorway.
You're saying that your dad, because you could hear the trains in Swillington, which is nearly 2 miles away, that means that the air had changed in Swillington.
Oh, yeah.
And if you couldn't hear the trains, it wasn't going to rain.
That's what they used to say.
Dad always used to say that, didn't he? Say, "Oh, it's going to rain, I think. I can hear the trains."
But transport in general, not just the railways, in general, bus companies, etc., was so different in those days compared to today. Today, you're a nobody, if you understand. But in those days, your drivers and your conductors on the buses in those days, they knew you And if you weren't there for a certain time of a bus, if you were travelling and everything, I wonder where he is. But today, that doesn't apply.
Nobody's interested.
I know a little story about a bus company, a local family bus company. And one occasion we were in Rothwell as children with our parents. And the last bus, I think, was 11 o'clock from Rothwell to Swillington. And the bus came in and he was full. He couldn't get anybody on. And he said to my father and mother, "Oh, you're going to Swillington? Keep walking. I'm going to Swillington. I'll turn round and pick you up." This is fact. And as we got, say, nearly to Alton Lodge, approximately, the bus would come back empty, turn round when he could in the road, got on and brought us back to Swillington. Now, would
that
apply
to,
would that apply today?